Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bry or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m. for Essen Fresen, where it's all about the food.
Good morning, everyone. You're with Dolores Fiché from Food by Flavors on this very blustery, should I say, spring day. We think it's spring, but the cold weather has set in. But while we're talking spring, we are anticipating all our chagim that lie ahead of us. We have many in store with quite a difficult and challenging time frame, because most of the Yom Tovs fall on a Friday, on a Wednesday, and go right through into Shabbos. So I'm here to help you plan some menus, give you a little bit of kitchen inspiration, and speak to some experts in our community about how to take the stress out, the fun in, and just have a good time. So I'm going to be joining Aviva Krost of Aviva Krost Events. She's so well known in Johannesburg and beyond for her exquisite functions and beautiful decor. Welcome, Aviva.
Thanks, Dee. So happy to be with you today.
Great. So I think the thing that I really want to get across to people is how not to feel overwhelmed when entertaining. It should be such a time of warmth and family and around a table and talking, and yet the host often feels so stressed that it actually makes it sometimes uncomfortable for people. So for me, being a host and being warm and inviting is actually being prepared and having all your ducks in a row before the time sets in. So I just want to chat to you about your key ingredients for a great function, a home function, because we're talking people entertaining at home. Some people are going to be having 20, some 30, some 100, some 10, but all of it is important. We bringing in the new year, we celebrating our chagim. What are your kind of key pointers when you organizing your own events for yourself and your family and friends?
Okay, so firstly, I think I'd start with you need a list. Start from the beginning. Keep it basic.
For sure.
Write down what it is you're going to be doing, how many tables you're going to be setting. Are you doing a buffet or are you doing a more formal setting? The nice thing with setting your table is you can at least do it in advance. So at least you know that that is done and set, and then the rest you could – your cooking and your shopping and all of that you can do afterwards.
For sure.
For me, I'm not the best in the kitchen, so I believe if it looks nice, it's going to taste good.
Mm-hmm.
So I go
often that works. Often that works.
I also think sometimes, to be honest, less is more.
For sure.
So I start off with a tablecloth, and I prefer to go more of a neutral tablecloth, and then you pick your color. So anyone who knows me, I'm all about color. And this year I'm probably going to stick with my formula. So I'm going to go with color. And I'm not, when you use color, you can be more creative.
For sure.
And you don't have to
break the bank.
It's more forgiving. Mm. Yeah. And it's more forgiving. So if you mix a few one stem vases with a few little clusters and you loosely pack your flowers, and you put them down the middle of the table, I promise you, even if the flowers aren't perfect,
for sure,
it gives a great look and feel.
For sure.
And you pick a serviette that's not as busy as your floral, and that will bring it in together, and use a clear glass or a colored glass, and your table is A4 away.
For sure. I absolutely agree with you on that point. I know for me this year, I've decided to keep it white and green and simple, and I cannot do flowers to save my life. So I always just use greenery and I stick them in a few vases across the table, and there we go. So greenery and even herbs for me is a great way of entertaining. I often just use, for Pesach this year, I actually just put brown paper across a table and I used pots of herbs with some cut oranges and lemons and grapefruit, and that was my table. So I think also things are so expensive that people always don't want to spend a fortune, but do want to create the look. And we really can by using beautiful colors, some greenery, and fruit and veg. I always find that fruit and veg is such a beautiful decor accent, and it never goes to waste because you can use it afterwards.
Definitely.
Great. And talk to me about planning your seating when you have a bigger crowd. Do you like small tables? Do you like a cafe kind of feel? What is your sense of entertaining when you have a big crowd?
So this year I do have quite a big crowd. What I do is I use my dining room table as my buffet station. And utilize my house and my furniture and bring in a little bit of extra, but I do some conversation, six seaters, a few low cafes, which are four seaters, and then some long tables. And I find I prefer cafe and conversation tables because I feel like people, it gives people the opportunity to sit, eat, but then get up and mingle and move to another spot.
For sure.
The bigger the crowd, the less formal I do seating. I find it works better and flows
for nicer. For sure. And I think we all, again, just on using what we have, we all can sometimes find little tables that we have in our space, which in our spaces, which we think are not usable, but they really can be so consumer friendly as such when we're doing that kind of a setup or event to bring stuff out of a garage, out of a spare bedroom, a little table with a beautiful vase of flowers makes a beautiful little seating area. I know last year I was entertaining and I had different groups of people, which also can be difficult. And I even had some little cafe tables with two chairs, so people who didn't want to socialize could feel that they could just chat to their partner as such. So again, making your crowd work for you and just the ease of conversation and mingling, and a buffet table is always a great talking point and a central focus for people to mingle around.
I also think what's very important is, regardless of what it's like and tastes like, if you relaxed when your guests are coming in and you make them feel welcome and at home, everyone will find a spot.
For sure.
Everyone will be comfortable and everyone will enjoy the food.
For sure. And I was writing notes for myself last night about the show and just how to create a beautiful ambiance for people. And one of my points was not to be a hysterical host, because there's nothing worse than arriving somewhere where people actually make you almost feel guilty for arriving because they've been slogging away or they're tired or they look exhausted or whatever. So I think being a host comes with a whole lot of obligations too.
100%.
Great. Any other pointers before we move on, Aviva, for a great table, for some table inspiration?
I can't think off the top of my head, but I think we've covered, use a little bit of fruit, a little bit of floral, a great serviette. You're good to go. And also, because it's Rosh Hashanah, utilizing the apples and honey everywhere already is going to give it an look and make it look that much nicer.
For sure.
I want to wish everyone a Shana Tova and have a beautiful, happy, healthy new year and well over the past.
Please God and peace for all of us. Thank you, Aviva Krost of Aviva Krost Events. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Dee. Have a beautiful day.
You too.
Chalashin for Chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
We're back talking Yom Tov dishes. We're talking entertaining and how to make it easy for ourselves and very precious for our guests. So I did make a few notes last night just while thinking about it. And I think if we all prep ahead of time, that is really half the battle won. I know we've heard it before, but we need to say it again and again. If we prep in advance, then we don't feel overwhelmed on the day and it just makes it so much easier. My second point is to make dishes that you know well. I don't think that having people over is the time to experiment with new recipes. So yes, we all have our favorites and our family favorites. Make something like that that's comforting, that people recognize a familiarity. A familiarity in food offers such comfort and joy, and that legacy of going from year to year, it just feels so special. And I don't think that it's a time to experiment with something new on the day when we're having people. Keeping the menu short and sweet is the way to go for some people. I know I personally find that so hard. I like to have more variety. I always think I'm going to hone in and fine-tune my menu, but I never do. So even though I may have 30 or 40 people, I know I do offer variety. And I'll go through how I plan my menus in just a sec. Don't spend all your time in the kitchen. As I said before, there's nothing worse for guests than an overwhelmed host or a host who's harassed or tired or flustered. So keeping calm and not being in the kitchen the whole time is really key to entertaining. The other thing that I always do is I always like to have some form of a mini grazing or harvest table for when people arrive. One, it definitely breaks the ice. it's a place for people to gather around, have a drink and talk. And it doesn't have to be fancy. So you can do some delicious crisps with a homemade hummus, a bowl of guaco, some nachos, a bowl of olives, some pepper juice. If you're having a meat function, you could add in some biltong. If you're having a milk function, you keep it parve and just have maybe an extra dip. And just a few little heirloom tomatoes, some sliced cucumber, just a big board for people to nush, for people to start feeling at home, for people to start relaxing. I always do something for starters. Then sometimes I add something warm, like a board of spring rolls or spanakopita or crystal spring rolls or even salmon skewers. These are easy items, easily accessible to us and not hard to do. My other thing that I always like to emphasize is that keeping food simple is great, but just have one dish or something on a salad that just shows you've made an effort. That's a bit of an extra edge. So what I always like to do is even on a simple salad, you can add something like toasted chickpeas. So I'm going to share some recipes with you. Or instead of lettuce, maybe use some mixed baby spinach and kale. What I like to do with that is chop my kale and spinach really fine. And I actually work it in with my hands with some lemon juice, some olive oil, and a pinch of salt. It seems to just infuse the flavor of the kale and the spinach. I always have toasted chickpeas on hand. I love throwing them over so many different salad options. And again, that's so easy. You take 2 tins of chickpeas, drain them, rinse them, drizzle with some olive oil, some garlic flakes or garlic powder or fresh garlic, a little bit of onion powder or onion flakes, some smoked paprika. You can add a dash of cayenne pepper and a pinch of salt and pepper. Salt and pepper, of course, on all things that go into the oven and that I roast everything with salt and pepper. That's my first step. I always place it on some baking paper. I toast many cups of chickpeas in one go, and I always have them in a sealed Tupperware in the fridge. They last for at least 7 days or even sometimes longer. Let them get crispy and a little bit burnt, so they're just that Cajun kind of feel, and it's just a great addition to any salad. So even if you're throwing together some lettuce, some cucumber, some chopped olives, some asparagus, some snap peas, and you top it with toasted chickpeas, it just adds the edge. So again, while entertaining, I always try and have something for the plainer eaters and for sometimes a more sophisticated palate or someone who's happy to taste something different. So if I'm doing a fish meal and I have salmon, I'll always make sure I have a plain grilled salmon just with some chopped herbs and some salt and pepper, and then something more exciting. I've been doing a lot of a combination of dates with some horseradish cream and a touch of mayo and some fresh garlic and some chopped parsley and coriander, and make it into a paste and smothering it across the salmon, and it just cooks so beautifully. So again, balance your plain with your fancier, simple tastes, but just with a dash of energy, with a dash of that, wow, I've made an effort. The other thing I love to do is add some homemade hummus, always in a bowl. I always have that at whenever I have people over. And again, I'm going to share with you such a simple way to do it. People think it's complicated. It's really not. So take your 2 tins of chickpeas, drained and rinsed. Add in a tablespoon of olive oil, a pinch of salt and pepper. Squeeze the juice of 1 lemon. And here I will emphasize to use fresh lemon juice and not a bottled one. 1/4 cup of tahina paste, a small garlic clove chopped, and then start pulsing it. And you can just add a little bit of water to thin it out as we go. Again, I love taking some hummus, spreading it on a big board or with a lip, and just some crunchy onions on the top and some marinated mushrooms and some pita toast on the side. And there you go, another dish, another something to add to a harvest table to welcome guests.
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
You're back with Dolores from Food by Flavors. We're talking entertaining. We're talking all our chagim and holidays that are facing us headstrong and in full force. So we've spoken to Aviva Krost of Aviva Krost Events about just some tips of entertaining. And I'm now going to share some information and knowledge with one of Cape Town's and South Africa's great decor and interior stylists. Welcome, Karen Orzel, to our show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
I believe you've just done the Otter Trail. So are you finally relaxed after a hectic few days?
No, I think it's going to take weeks.
Weeks. A beating of the body.
It was tough, yes. But yeah, happy to be back.
Good. Thank you for being on our show. So we're talking about entertaining. We're talking about design trends. We're talking about how to make your home, your oasis, how to welcome guests in and make entertaining easier. But before we chat about detail, talk to me a bit about trends that you see happening. Are there new trends? Sometimes I feel that sometimes it's just more of the same, but in a different way. So as a decor stylist, an interior stylist, what are you sensing in the marketplace in trends and colors and texture? Can you share some information with us?
Yes, I think a lot of the trends will repeat themselves after a couple of years. So if you're looking at what's happening at the moment, for me, it's a lot of neutrals and natural textures. So your raw woods, and grass and bamboo and that sort of thing, I think will always be in fashion. And what I like to do with that sort of thing is to then add in some color to what you've got, so that you don't follow trends as such, but you kind of have a basis that you work with that you love, and you can then add onto that just pops of color, a splash of color here and there. And I think that's kind of the safest way to go with decorating a home or with decorating a table or entertaining, is to not think that it's overwhelming and you've got to start from scratch now be on trend. Yes.
Great. And when you talk color, are there colors that come into fashion and out of fashion as such, for want of a better word? I know it sounds so contrived, but or when you say neutrals, and then I know like chartreuse and some greens and mustard seem to be, I see them a lot in the stores and all over. Or is that just a passing fad? Or how do you approach color as such?
Yes. So once again, I won't go and invest in a brand new set of bed linen in a trendy color like a chartreuse or a peach or, you know, a bottle green if that's on trend. I would just add a few scatters with those kind of colors coming through. And those are easy things to then change up again.
For sure.
And anybody can follow a trend when you're just doing that. And I think you see a lot of the interior decorators and designers that will do homes in a trendy color or a color that's trending for that season. And I find that quite scary or a little bit overwhelming, because it's not always going to stay in fashion.
For sure.
But colors in decor will always follow what's happening in fashion as well. So you can kind of predict up front what is going to come. But in my mind, you can't go wrong with using neutrals and natural textures in your home, and a lot of maybe monochrome, so your black and whites, and then just adding in some of those trendy or pops of colors that you love.
For sure.
So that it's safer, and you still get that feeling that you are on trend as such, but you're not necessarily over-investing in that for that season.
For sure. And I just want to ask your opinion on, if you've got quite a neutral monochrome home, do you feel that any color works with it? Like sometimes I know I've been into homes and to do a Friday night dinner or a Saturday night 50th birthday, and I'm in a house that's just, say, got lots of navy and white, and then the person says to me, but I want to do Manchester United or Springbok colors or something. Do you feel that it clashes to bring in other colors? Should we always work with the palette as such?
Yes, I do think it's a lot more clever and easier to work within what you've got.
Mm-hmm.
To try and create something that's totally a different color palette in your home, if you're entertaining, I think can be quite disturbing almost.
Yes, yes.
Because it goes against your whole look and feel. So I always think it's better to kind of bring in those themes, but in a very subtle way. So maybe just the serviettes would be red if it's a Man United
kind of
evening.
Feel. Yeah.
Yes. So just the serviette or whatever, but not overwhelm with a completely brand new look and color.
I agree.
Color scheme. So I think you kind of look at what you've got and then just bring in, again, just the pops of color, or it could be a a placemat that you've had just photocopied or whatever, and that's the theme. But
for sure.
Not go completely overboard and it clashes with your home. No.
For sure. In fact, placemats are just such a beautiful way to even personalize something. So if it's a birthday or or you want to share a message for one of the holidays, yes, or whatever, it's so nice. I did it the other day and I just printed 20 placemats just on A4 paper with a bit of a design and kept a colored glass in the color of the font on the placemat, and it just added a little bit of texture and dimension to the table.
Absolutely. I love doing that as well. I think that's such a clever way, even a photograph of someone whose birthday it is. And it's easy. It's cheap. You throw it away. Don't overinvest on evenings or days like this.
For
I
sure.
think be clever. Think a little bit out of the box and do something that not everybody is doing. And you don't need to go overboard and spend a lot of money. That's the trick to entertaining.
In fact, I always think that the whole silver service fine dining look, even in top restaurants, has a much more casual feel to it. So you can go into a beautiful restaurant, but the bowls or dishes are quite almost rustic in a beautiful stony look or black with a scratch or something like that. It's not that silver plated fine dining of many years ago, which I think does have a place, and I think there are places that do accommodate for that. But I think in general the whole world has gone more casual within the more upmarket field, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. You hardly find that complete silver service anymore. And I think it is very trendy, and I find it very cool to mix and match some very contemporary items with stuff that you've inherited, antiques,
exactly,
or whatever. And then finding, again, something that's on trend. So it could be a nude,
for sure,
color plate that you just add into your set that you've got, but mixing and matching different sets together.
For sure.
And I think that is what's cool and what's interesting. It's not having everything that
the
matches
same,
and it must be the same. Yes, exactly.
More an eclectic feel. And I really feel we're so lucky here. We have the Mr. Price's and the Jets and the Ackermans and so many places where we don't have to go and spend a fortune, and we can just get like a pop of color or a new bowl or something in a shade of a light blue to match something that we're doing and just bring color in that way. I really feel we're really lucky here. I've seen prices overseas, and I think here we're still quite fortunate in that regard. What do you think?
Yes, absolutely. And now, again, what you've said with Pep, Home, and Ackermans and Jet also coming to the party, it's given Mr. Price quite a competition, but they've all got interesting things,
for sure,
that you can definitely just go and spend 20 rand on a side plate or a bowl or a glass, a colored glass, without over investing. You can set a theme or have something for a season and not feel completely guilty if it's packed away.
Absolutely. Thank you for your input, and thank you for taking time out to join us today.
Anytime. It was lovely to be on your show.
Thanks, Karen. Thank you so much.
Khalashing for Khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
We're talking food, we're talking flavors, we're talking entertaining. I'm going to share with you a few quick salads and then two more main course dishes just to get you started and into the groove, as they say, for all the chagim facing us and ahead of us. So one of the things that I said was that I always like to just inject a little bit of something different, an edgy something. So even when I'm making a plain salad, to top it with the chickpeas that I spoke about, a bowl of homemade hummus next to a crudité platter. One of the other things that I do, I call it a shaken up cucumber salad, is literally you can take the baby cucumbers, slice them thinly, toss it with a tablespoon of sesame oil, one garlic clove, which you've grated quite roughly, a tablespoon of chili oil. You can sprinkle a few extra little chili flakes. I love a little kick of chili. A tablespoon of sesame seeds, 2 tablespoons of soy sauce, and 2 tablespoons of vinegar. You can use a white wine vinegar or a red wine vinegar. Not too liquidy, so just that it covers the cucumber salad. Put it in a mason jar, shake it up, and there you have a delicious cucumber side dish. Or again, take a platter, some butter lettuce with some torn rocket leaves. I love the combination of lettuce and rocket. Throw over the cucumbers, It's delicious, and you can even top with some toasted pecan nuts or some honeyed pecans or some almonds or whichever nut you fancy. And there you have a beautiful salad. You can add blueberries. You can add something just to give it a summer feel. And there you have something that looks like you've made an effort, because you have made an effort. Another thing that I always like to do, especially on Rosh Hashanah, is one dish that does contain apples. So here again is a take on I'd call it a modern Waldorf salad. So I take a white cabbage and I chop it finely. The equivalent of half a big cabbage should do it. 2 fennel bulbs sliced really thin. 4 celery sticks chopped. I like to do it just chopped quite finely. 3 spring onions, again chopped quite chunkily, but just favor. 1 or 2 green apples sliced thinly and into strips. And if you want to add your apples a bit later, you can slice them ahead of time and then just soak them in a little bit of lemon juice, and they'll stay crisp and fresh, and you can add and toss the green apples in a bit later. If you want, again, optional, is just for a kick, 2 chilies with the seeds, 1/2 a bunch of chopped fresh mint, and 1/2 a bunch of chopped fresh coriander. Toss it all together, and there you have a delicious, delicious apple cabbage salad. For a dressing, for something like that, you really don't have to go too extreme. You can just add some olive oil, some vinegar, salt and pepper, and toss it through. If you want to go an edge sweeter, then you can add some honey or some maple syrup, or I love using the date honey if you can get your hands on that. It just is a bit tartar than the regular honey, but just gives that sweetness that you need. So that's 2 easy salads just to enhance your table and give you something delicious to add to your repertoire. Another thing that is so easy and quick to do, people don't want to battle in the kitchen and make a homemade mayo. So here's a quick recipe, which you can just use your blender. So you take 3 hard-boiled eggs, 2 tablespoons of olive oil or avo oil or any neutral oil, 1 teaspoon of vinegar, 1/3 of a cup of water, 1/2 a teaspoon of pepper, and a pinch of salt. You literally blend that all together, pulse it till it's smooth and thick, and there you have a delicious homemade mayo to spoon over any salad. Delicious over a side of salmon or in a bowl next to some fish cakes. Really easy and really quick. I'm then going to share with you some crispy rice, which I always like to have on hand. And again, you can add it to any salad. So to prepare your crispy rice, line a baking sheet with baking paper and add 2 cups of cooked and cooled rice to the baking sheet. I toss it well with some soy sauce, some chili flakes, and a dash of sesame oil. You bake it for at least 40 minutes, tossing halfway through. Remove from the oven once you've got it nice and crispy and set it aside. And again, you can keep it in a sealed Tupperware, and it holds for really long. You could make this at least 2 to 3 days before. And it's so delicious, just added to a cabbage salad just for some crunch, or a chicken salad, or a pulled beef salad, or whatever you want to make. But these are the little edges that I talk about when I say just to make something a bit different. So when we're talking about planning a menu, we spoke about the plain with something a bit more exotic. So I always like to have, as I said, if I have something like a plain cooked salmon with some herbs on the side for the kind of plainer palate, then I always have something more exotic. I'll do a delicious mushroom sauce over a salmon, or that horseradish with dates, or something delicious. I love also doing a big board where I add a protein to my vegetables. So even if you've got a big dish of lamb or a big dish of chicken, take your baby potatoes, which you've done in the oven. I love halving the baby potatoes. Toss it with olive oil, salt, pepper, bit of garlic salt, even a bit of onion powder or something just to add a bit of zing. Bake your baby potatoes in the oven. Put them on a big platter, and then pile your lamb or chicken or beef on top of it. And it just is so easy. It looks effective. A pile of broccoli stem on the side just finishes it off. Some fresh heirloom tomatoes. And there you have a whole dish. And it doesn't take so much effort to make something look so outstandingly attractive. And as I've ever said, you eat with your eyes. So if it looks good, it normally tastes good. Not always, but a lot of the time. So just make sure that your table and your food just looks enticing and inviting. I love to always do, when I do a milk meal, I always love to have one salad, which is rocket, sliced tomatoes. We have so many beautiful tomatoes available now. It's getting better in all the stores. Slice your green and yellow and red heirloom tomatoes. And they've got beautiful, big, chunky tomatoes now, which I've even just been piling on the side or cutting them in half with a bit of salt and pepper. It's so delicious. And some basil, olives, some good quality olive oil, a dash of balsamic vinegar, and there you go, a beautiful summer cheese board platter. Again, I always love to put some fresh crispy bread alongside or some pita toasts. I've been using up all my old pitas by not wasting, and again, slice them up, cut them up with a pair of scissors if easier, some salt and pepper, and some shawarma spice actually works so amazingly, or the Ras Al Hanout spice, or any of the Moroccan kind of Israeli Middle Eastern flavors. Sprinkle it over your pita, cut them up, coat well with olive oil, toast them in the oven, and there you have a delicious pile of pita alongside one of your dishes. Easy to nourish, easy to have with a bowl of hummus or a bowl of guaco on the side.
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
We're talking flavors and tastes and entertaining and making it easy for ourselves. So I'm going to share with you a very quick and easy dessert that I always do. You will always find this in my home and at all of my functions. I love using like a chocolate bark or a nutty brittle. It looks good. You can break it up on a board and combine it with nougat that is so readily available to us, a pile of marshmallows, and just with some homemade brittle, it always tastes delicious. So here we go. And again, easy ingredients, easy to put together. Take 450 grams of raw almonds, 50 grams of pumpkin seeds, 50 grams of sunflower seeds, 50 grams of dried cranberries, and 50 grams of coconut flakes. I always like to toast my coconut flakes. Again, I always keep it in a big Tupperware on hand to add to a salad or to add to a dish or even just sprinkle over something. So what you do is you then mix that all together. For the syrup, you take 120 grams of honey and 80 grams of maple syrup. Again, use the honey and the maple syrup or the date honey and the maple syrup. It just gives a slightly different feel when you mix those two flavors. And a half a teaspoon of sea salt. I like to use the Maldon salt, but you can use any salt on hand. You then pour the syrup over the nut mixture and stir it really well to combine. Press it firmly into a baking tray. Of course, you've got your baking paper on the baking tray. Put it in the freezer for at least 2 hours to set. Once it's set, you can cut it into bars or chunks. And then what I like to do is dip it into melted dark chocolate. The other thing you can do is just smear your dark chocolate over the whole base of the nutty mixture. And again, you have like a nutty chocolate bark. Once you've got your chocolate, put the bars back in the freezer for 15 minutes to let it harden. And there you go for a delicious and crunchy chocolate bark flavor, which you can add to any of your dessert boards. I'm not huge on dessert, and I know that people seem to go light on dessert. We have beautiful fruit. I love strawberries just with a bit of a chocolate drizzle. We have ice cream on hand, sorbets on hand that we can get. And again, I like to mix something fruity always at my dessert table, something with chocolate, so a decadent chocolate mousse or a chocolate bark, something with a bit of cake. So if you've got a milk lunch or dinner going on, you can do a cheesecake or a carrot cake or any of the streusely kind of cakes. I love to make an apple cake also. I will upload all these recipes later on my Instagram page, so you can all have them on hand, on tap by tomorrow. But having said, with all the sweet stuff, my love and my passion is always the food. I love mixing flavors and I love cooking much more than I love baking. Thank God I have people around me who bake much better than me. But one of the other easy salads I'm going to share with you before we go, and again, it's just for a touch of difference on your table. You can get a pile of hard tacos and some soft tacos and do like a Mexican-style salad, which I call a corn salad with fresh herbs and a bit of jalapeno and some toasted pumpkin seeds. So what I do is you can take the baby corn or the big millies or the bigger corn and boil them. I love to sear them. on a stovetop also, and just blacken them just a little bit. It just gives it some flavor. Toss together with that some chunky avo, some fresh basil leaves, some fresh mint leaves, your salted pumpkin seeds. And if you've got a milk meal, I love to toss in some chunks of feta. It just makes for such a delicious side dish. People can fill it into a soft taco or hard taco, or just alongside a side of fish. Of course, if you need it for parve, you leave off the cheese, and just it's just a delicious side dish. I'm going to share with you also one sauce that I use for chicken or for meat, and that's a mushroom sauce, which again adds some zing to your table. So what you do here is I like to combine a little bit of the cardoon or one of the parve margarines with a little bit of oil. So I like to take 2 tablespoons of my parve margarine and 2 tablespoons of olive oil or avocado oil. I've been using avocado oil a lot too. If you wanted more Asian-y kind of feel, you can use a sesame oil, not for this recipe, but in general. There's so many oils available. I even saw recently the macadamia nut oil. There's so many oils. It's just wonderful. So take your oil and your parve margarine. If you're doing it just for fish, you can, of course, use butter. 2 chopped spring onions, 2 cloves of minced garlic, a sprinkling of black pepper. I love to add in a dash of a wine. So I'll use whatever I have on hand, some Shabbos wine, some sweet wine, a white wine. I'm not fussy about it. I just like that little bit of kick. 1 cup of chicken broth, which you've made separately, and 1 cup of Orly whip if you're doing it for parve. Of course, if you're making a milk mushroom sauce, you can use a heavy cream. A sprinkling of salt to taste, some fresh parsley. Don't underestimate parsley. I love the feel of parsley in a dish. And then what you're going to do is melt your butter with your oil. You're going to add your garlic and everything else and add in 2 punnets of mushrooms. So again, I like to mix my mushrooms. I like my white mushroom and my brown mushroom or the portobellini mushrooms. There's so many mushrooms on hand. Then add all the other ingredients until you get a delicious thick sauce, which you can use so easily for chicken or for meat.